There was a great Sahabi, and this is the explanation of the initial verses of the Surah An-Nur.
Remember the Sahabi's name, Hazrat Marthad. And when you go home, share this family with your, share this incident with your families. This Sahabi, during the Medinan stage, he comes from Makkah, but he was very strong. And look at the khidmah he would undertake. And how valuable it is to appreciate each other. Sometimes another person is involved in a certain khidmah. Encourage him. Look at this Sahabi's khidmah. In Makkah, many Sahaba were undertaking hijrah, but they were halted. And their hijrah was barred. They were barred from hijrah. Then they were locked up in prisons. Hazrat Marthad was so strong. He would go into Makkah, virtually sneak in, rescue these Sahaba from imprisonment, untie their shackles, and now many a time they were tortured, they were injured. He would escape with them, or he would even carry them if need be, to take them to safety. Hazrat Marthad bin Abi Marthad al-Ghanawi, radiyallahu anhu. But what brings his incident in this chapter is one of these encounters of his. One day he was on this journey, and he's going to rescue the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu, and see how any of us can be challenged. A beautiful woman comes up to him. And this was a beautiful woman that he knew in his past. Her name is documented in this incident as well. Anaq. So Anaq comes. Come, come, Marthad. What you up to? Like old days, bit indana layla, one night. Come. He says, hey, you know what? I'm Muslim. I've changed my life. I don't do one night stories. It doesn't work like that. She got upset. After so long we meet, how we were before, can't you accommodate? What is wrong with you? And now in her anger and in her irritation, she went to divulge the secret to the Meccans and see what Marthad is up to. He's around and this is what he's doing. Oh, they send the soldiers behind him. And they laid chase. And as he was escaping, he said, Ya Allah, only you can cover my tracks. He hid in a cave. He remembered Rasulullah was in the cave. He followed that practice. He went in the cave. He was in dua. Allah made it that they didn't find any track of his. Alhamdulillah. Then he came out. He rescued the Sahaba. And he escaped with them. Anyway, then he asked Allah's Nabi permission. Shouldn't I marry? Allah's Nabi said, somebody who makes tawbah, you marry. But if a woman is going to stay in that state, what's the use marrying someone that they're going to carry on with those practices? One is a person is changing and making tawbah and so forth. That's a different case. But that's an incident that teaches us that every person goes through challenges. There was a Sahabi, but prior to his Islam, he pretended to be a Muslim. His name was Fadala. So as the Nabi of Allah was circumambulating, performing tawaf, he was behind the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a hidden dagger, awaiting the opportune moment to stab and assassinate the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah's Nabi turns in the tawaf and says, Fadala, what you up to? What you planning? What you planning in your mind? Bada kunta tuhadithu bihi nafsak. What's going on inside your brains, Fadala? Allah's Nabi asked him. Not that Allah's Nabi saw anything. Allah's Nabi knew from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, nothing, nothing. I was just making dhikr. That was the answer. Nashay, kuntu adhkurullah. I was remembering the Almighty. That's what he said. So Allah's Nabi turned to him and placed his hand on his chest and made dua. Look at compassion. Someone who's coming to kill you, you forgive him. Number two, you make dua for him. You don't take him to task. You don't punish him, reprimand him. You brush it under the carpet and say, no, it's fine. You give him dua. Fadala says, his character was so impeccable. After Allah, I loved him the most. After that encounter with him, I spent my day in his company. As his en route home, he just embraced Islam now. So an old girlfriend comes up to him. And she tells him, Fadala, Fadala, come. Halumma ila al-hadith. Let's chat. Hadith means, let's talk, let's spend time together. Now this can happen physically. Someone can come to you and want to spend time physically in your company. Brother, it's not permissible. Someone can do this through the phone, a WhatsApp. their number can pop up, send your picture, for example. Who are you? What you up to? And they send you their funny pictures. Brother, a thing like that, we have to block it immediately. And we can't maintain and carry on with such things, whether it's in the university, whether it's down the road, whether it's in our businesses. This is a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That beautiful person will come in, and now a person feels, now I'm alone with such a person in the, you know, in the confines of my office. I can, you know, take the opportunity. Na'udhu billah. This is defiance. It is failing Allah's order. Look at this sahabi, what he said. He says, you know what? I've changed my life. I can't do things like this out of wedlock. And where I changed my life, I went by the Kaaba. She says, what you mean? You were not long ago. He says, out of wedlock is not permissible. I went by the Kaaba. I spent time in Allah's Nabi's company. Why don't you do the same? And he walked away and he read these couplets. قالت هلم إلى الحديث فقلت لا يأبى عليك الله والإسلام لو ما رأيت محمدا وقبيله بالفتح حين تكسر الأصنام لرأيت دين الله أضحى بينا والشرك يغشى وجهه الإسلام. He said in his words, she calls me to chat, but Allah doesn't allow this. يأبى عليك الله. Allah doesn't allow this. Islam doesn't allow. Then he gives her an exhortation. I went to the Kaaba. Allah's Nabi is there. Good company. You go meet Allah's Nabi. You'll change your life as well. You'll see Islam is truth. Islam is a way of life. Shirk is falsehood. It's covered with darkness. These were his encouragement in these words. And definitely when a person leaves haram for Allah's pleasure, whether it may be a deen, whether it may be an illicit relation, whether it may be any sort of haram, Allah's Nabi held his sahabi's hand to emphasize the importance of this advice. Allah's Nabi held him by the hand and said, see, you left something haram for Allah. Allah's Nabi emphasized and said, عوضك الله, Allah will replace you with much better, but through halal. Much better through halal. If we take the haram, we'll be deprived of the halal. And we'll be deprived of so many of Allah's blessings. This chapter is so replete with aspects of staying away from sin, keeping ourselves chaste. Even the etiquette of knocking the door of one's parents' room is in this chapter. And another beautiful etiquette about eating together. Eating together. Allahu Akbar. It's mentioned in this chapter, the importance of it. And then another very pertinent point at the end of this chapter, which is Noor, the chapter of Noor. Allah give us His Noor. And what's this pertinent point? Allah says the true believers are those, when they are in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't just run away quietly, stealthily. This chapter culminates like this. When they are in Allah's Nabi's company, they only leave the company of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for something necessary or pertinent, and they'll only leave with permission. Then Allah mentions the munafiqeen. They duck behind the walls. I always give the students this kind of example, you know, because it's so explicit in this chapter. They duck behind the walls just to mark themselves present. And then, you know, before anything else, they're gone, before any duty. Even in battlefield, the munafiqeen were only there when it was time to collect booties. You know, but to actually be part and parcel of the effort, they weren't there. So obviously, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not amongst us. But this beautiful ethic should be carried out. When the ummah is doing something important together, we must always be try and be part and parcel of every work of deen. Allah give us tawfiq. This chapter, you can see the end. Allah warns, those who go against my Nabi, they should be careful. Allah's punishment is coming to them. It's quite a very, very scary verse at the end of this chapter. In Surah Al-Furqan, I told you to check up. Allah speaks of the stars, you know, the orbits, the planets. Allah Ta'ala made these beautiful celestial bodies in the sky. Then in the next verse, Quran tells us about 12 qualities in the special servants of Allah that Allah loves the most. Hazrat Mufti Udal Haq Sahib Damat Barakatuh explains so beautifully. He says, see the link. First, Allah is telling us about the stars in the sky. Then Allah says, leave those stars. You want to see real stars? let me show you my stars on earth and those who inculcate in them 12 qualities. Among these qualities, they walk with humility. They make salam. If anybody argues, they end the argument. Qalu salama. They say, we've come here for peace. We're not here to argue. If people want to argue, they let people say the last thing. But they humble. They let people win the argument. Their night is in tahajjud. Their night is in crying before Allah. They never ever waste. Allah mentions among the qualities, they never waste. They're always moderate. And in Allah's path they spend. They're the first to spend in the path of Allah. But any avenue of wastage, they abstain from wastage. Allah despises wastage. It doesn't mean a person has, he must waste. A sahabi was performing wudu. Allah's Nabi says, why do you waste? Hazrat Sa'd reports this. He says, O Nabi of Allah, there's so much of water. Allah's Nabi says, even if you're making wudu by a flowing river, still you have no liberty. We are not allowed to waste. Even if we're leaving somewhere, switch off the lights. Don't waste. Don't say, no, I'm lazy now. No. Wastage is unacceptable in our deen. Quran says wastage, and those who waste are the brothers of the devil. We should teach our children from young. Take little, finish it, then take more. But they should clean their plate also. If a morsel falls on the dastarkhan, it's not to be wasted. It's to be picked up and eaten. This will give us humility. We'll teach our children humility, respect for the ni'mah of Allah, which is food. Parents are to teach this to children. Among the many other qualities here, Allah mentions tawbah and repentance. Allah give us all tawfiq to make tawbah and repentance. Another quality Allah Ta'ala mentions here, subhanallah, is when they are given advice, they take advice. Not, I know it already. That habit of, we are beyond advice. Like we can give advice, we must take advice. And actually we should take more advice than the advice we give. Allah Ta'ala help people like myself. We're supposed to listen more and speak less. And the lesson of that is, Allah has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we must take advice. Hazrat Umar would make dua for the person who would correct him. Hazrat Umar, someone is correcting him, he would make dua for that person. Allah give us tawfiq to accept when we're wrong. Hazrat Maulana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi writes something so special. Ajeeb. He says, how do you know if you have some humility in you? And how do you know if we are haughty and arrogant? He says, if somebody corrects you, if whilst he is correcting you, you are analyzing, how can I inculcate his advice in my life? And how can I make it a means of benefit for me? That is the quality of humility. If whilst he is correcting you, you're waiting for him to finish. And whilst he is speaking, you're thinking about how to correct him. He says that means you're an arrogant, haughty individual. If somebody is correcting us, that's not the time to correct him. Doesn't mean he's correcting us, we must correct him. If he's correcting us, let's take the advice. Some people used to read the letters of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Patel rahmatullahi to him. What a great individual. So many servants he had working in his home. And every servant throughout his life who worked in his home, it wasn't a few months that servant became a Muslim. Every last one of them. This person treated us like a father and a brother. If the work was too much, he would help them. He would let them go home early. Akhlaq. Allah give us akhlaq. Allah give us humility. Allah give us tawfiq to accept advice. At the end of these 12 qualities, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَ. Such people, Allah will reward them with the ghurfa. You know what is ghurfa? Ghurfa are the biggest, most palatial palaces in paradise. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَ. But Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ, those people. But Allah spoke about them now. But Allah doesn't say these people. When you're speaking about someone great, you use this indication. أُولَٰئِكَ, those people. Allah will give them the biggest palaces in Jannah. Hazrat says so beautifully, because they left their homes to bring these qualities in their lives and to bring alive these qualities in the ummah. So al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. When you leave your home for Allah, Allah give us tawfiq. Today we leave our home only for recreation, only for vacation, only for business, only for travel. For Allah's deen, nobody wants to leave their home. No, we're too comfortable. My bed, my home, my comfort. Brother, if we can't practice now, how to sacrifice a little bit of comfort. In the qabr, what are we going to do, brother? What are we going to do? We can't spend one night in the masjid. How are we going to do it in the qabr? Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةِ. So let's see the translation. Allah will give them the biggest palaces of Jannah. Why? When they left their homes for Allah, Allah gives them this outcome. Because Allah's system is, the reward you get is equivalent to the effort you make. In the last verse. That's why we should bring this quality. And we should teach our families. You know why? If we don't separate now and again, go a little bit at least, when we die, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Allahu Akbar. And death comes all of a sudden, respected elders. The last verse of this chapter, Allah says, قُلْ tell them, مَا يَعْبَعُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي. Allah won't worry about you if you don't do two things. Meaning Allah will not care. This verse is saying, check the verse. If you don't do two things, Allah will not care. Number one, دُعَاءُكُمْ. If you don't make dua to Allah and always ask Him, He won't give. This verse is a warning. And the second meaning, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي. Allah won't care if you don't make dua when you call others to Allah. So these two qualities are highlighted. Dua, ask Allah for the people. Dua, ask the people and tell them about Allah. The next chapter we did was Shu'ara. Shu'ara is really pertinent. Look through it yourself. Allah speaks of every Nabi, how the Nabi of Allah called. How was the reaction? How he called to Allah, how was the reaction? Then the last chapter we were busy with now, I was telling you, that we're still reciting, is An-Naml. An-Naml is concerning different aspects. But Allah named this chapter Ant. Why? Allah is teaching us, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn from the ant. So I'm going to tell you a portion of this incident and then we'll finish it tomorrow. In the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was traveling with his army. He traveled to uplift Allah's deen. He was a king and he was a Nabi of Allah. And his era was the golden era of the Bani Ismail. So as he's traveling with his people, an ant noticed Sulaiman alayhi salam's army arriving. The ant got worried. So he announced to its comrades, quick, quick, go in your homes, go in your homes. Hazrat Sulaiman and his army is coming. You mustn't get harmed. You mustn't get crushed. But interestingly, the ant says, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. I'm not saying he'll do it intentionally, unintentionally. Look at the consideration of the ant. The ant knows that Hazrat Sulaiman will never crush them intentionally. Pious people will see the ant there, they'll walk this side. There was a sahabi who used to do that. That's why he was named the father of the ant. What was that sahabi's name? If he saw an ant, he made sure he didn't even crush or trample on an ant. What was the sahabi's name? His name was Jundub bin Junada, but his title was the father of the ant. You want to take a guess?
Abu Dhar.
Now, Dhar is 8,000 ants. Dhar is the smallest one. And he has to make sure that he won't even trample on the smallest ant. So Allah names the entire chapter under an ant trying to save others. What's the lesson for you and me? Hear the story and mashallah, ant was very good. No. There's a lesson between the lines here. That the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must become like the ant. Don't worry, there's no lights at home. Even when you go home, you can't have tea. So brothers, wait a few minutes. Bear patience. This is ibadah. If you learn knowledge, you know knowledge is ibadah. Unless you're thinking now, you know I'm going to go there, wife going to make something hot. Brother, you're not getting anything. Understand? I mean, she's going to make the food hot. I hope you're not thinking something else. Brothers, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was coming and Allah is telling us that learn from the ant. The ant was worried that Sulaiman was worried about others. O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, can't you worry about the salvation of others? That's the lesson for you and me. What's the next immediate incident? Now Sulaiman alayhi salam is on the journey. He stops for salah. On the same journey. As he stopped for salah, there was one bird called the hoopoe. In English it's hoopoe. In Arabic it's the hoodhood bird. So this bird would, with its beak, decipher exactly where was the water. So Sulaiman alayhi salam knew that was the point. And he called the jinn, because he had them under his control. And they would dig, and water would gush. They make wudu, and they perform salah. Now it's the time of salah, they stop for salah, the hoopoe is nowhere to be seen. Now the hoopoe story is quite interesting. Because the hoopoe could see the water under the ground. But one day Sulaiman alayhi salam saw one hoopoe, you know, playing a trick on a little kid. So Sulaiman alayhi salam notified the hoopoe, be careful, he's going to catch you. He says, no, I'm playing with him, he won't be able to catch me. When Sulaiman alayhi salam returned on that route, he found the hoopoe inside the net of the kid. So he says, see, I told you. He says, you know, O Allah's Nabi, when taqdeer comes, the eye becomes blind. إِذَا جَاءَ الْقَدَرَ عَمِيَ الْبَصَرِ It's a famous statement in Arabic that was learned from the hoopoe bird. Anyway, this hoopoe here now was nowhere to be seen. And now when you left your position in the army, you get court-martialed. You're in trouble. You get taken to task. So if you analyze and read the translation of how Sulaiman alayhi salam was so infuriated and angry, he said, I'm going to punish this bird and take him to task. Azaban shadidan, a severe punishment. Oh, I'm going to slaughter him. How could he do such a thing? This was the wrath of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam towards this bird that he left his post without permission. And secondly, because it's the time of salah and we need the water. So these different matters, and Sulaiman alayhi salam was angry. But then he said, unless he has an excuse. That's why in the madrasa also, if a student came late for anything, we don't accept it. But if he says, you know, I was giving dawah to somebody, what can you say? He was saving somebody from Jahannam. That 5 minutes that he missed, don't worry, you come afterwards, I'll teach you that lesson again. Because he was giving dawah. When the bird came back, they warned the hoopoe, you're in trouble, you're in danger. He came out in humility in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He said, where were you? He said, O Nabi of Allah, we were traveling. And I saw a nation worship the sun and they're not worshipping Allah. I couldn't bear it. How can it be? And this is another lesson for you and me. Daily we meet those who are worshipping the sun and worshipping idols and worshipping Jesus and worshipping Hanuman and worshipping whatever they worship. And we do nothing about it. The bird was pain, was in such pain that he left his post. You and I can't even park our car on the side. And say, you know, brother, I'm going to pray. Come sit with me. See how we pray. We can't. Our car is too clean. We can't. Our time is money. We can't. Learn from the bird. He left his post. Sulaiman alayhi salam was so angry. His entire wrath and anger got subsided. Are we bigger? We can't take our time to save one person from Jahannam. Allah forgive us. We've forgotten. We are the ummah of such a Nabi of Allah. That Allah has given us the example of the bird and the ant to learn. To save one person from Jahannam is more important than anything else. Take those few minutes and speak to one person. This is what the lesson is of this entire chapter. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam's anger became subsided. And we won't do it either. Our time is too valuable. Oh, we're too big. How can we talk? This man fills petrol. I must talk to him. Allah forgive us, brothers. You know, we're made from dust. We're made from sand. And we're made from droplets of liquid. Humble ourselves and learn from the ant. I'll finish the story tomorrow.